Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Disconnected to disciple. You'll hear Pastor Seth say that often. We want people also to go from being disconnected to being disciples of Jesus. We're a little bit more verbose. Seth does a really good job of really trimming down exactly what he wants to say. We want people to connect to Jesus, connect to his church, and connect to his kingdom calling for their lives. What we mean by that is that Jesus has gives us new life full of meaning and mission. And we want to unleash people to that. The part that I want to talk about this morning is connecting to Jesus. And really just trying to answer the question, why? Why, if I'm a person who has not been around the church for a while, should I connect to Jesus? Why should I, if I have been connected to the church for a while, want to connect with him more? That's what we're going to get into this morning, all based around the passage we read from Mark chapter 4. So if you have a Bible with you or your app on your phone that you use to read the Bible, I invite you to turn it up, to open it up. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 4. I guess if you had an audio Bible, you could turn it up. But beware the people around you. I don't know if they'd like that. I don't know. Ask them first. Mark chapter 4 is where we're going to be. If you have a little trouble finding and navigating in a traditional Bible, if you take the Bible and divide it in about half, you're probably in Psalms, Isaiah, Proverbs, one of those. If you take the second half and divide it in half, you're probably in one of the Gospels. They're all one-syllable names, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, that area. That's where we're going to be. Mark is the one we're in. Mark chapter 4, but I want you to start in the first part of Mark. And we're just going to kind of walk through, get a little bit of context into what's going on in the passage we read. Mark is a really fascinating book. It's written by this guy, we think, named John Mark, who, although he had some connection to Jesus, had a really close connection to one of Jesus' disciples named Peter. He followed Peter around. We see this in the book of Acts. And was somebody who helped Peter out, took down notes of Peter's sermons, recorded the stories that Peter shared, and compiled those things into the Gospel of Mark. Gospel is just an account of Jesus' life, the good news about Jesus. John Mark did a really good job of tying all these things together and presenting who Jesus is. And he does it really early, actually. The date that Mark was written is probably 50 or 60 AD. That's only about 20 or 30 years after Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead. So it's the earliest gospel account we have. It's full of action. It's full of exciting things that happen. And what I love about this book is the way that Mark presents it. He's going to let you come to your own conclusions. The only time that you're going to hear from Mark who he believes Jesus is the very first line of his book. Mark chapter 1. Mark says, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." That's it. The rest of the time, the whole 16 chapters, Mark writes, he's going to present what Jesus did and what he said and let you draw your own conclusion about who this Jesus guy is and if you should connect to him. We're going to dig into that. What happens in this particular passage is that Jesus beforehand has been calling his disciples, gathering a crowd. He's healed many people, performed all kinds of incredible miracles. He's casting out demons, doing things that only God could do. He heals a bunch of people, and some people really like that. Some people really don't. We see this divide starting to happen already. Jesus then has attracted such a huge crowd that he actually goes to the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd that's coming up to him is so big that it actually is kind of forcing him to get into a boat, causing a natural amphitheater to be able to speak to all the people who've gathered on the shore to hear him speak that day. On that day, he talks a lot about faith, all about what it looks like to trust in him, what it looks like to live that out in our lives. And after he finishes telling the crowds about this, Jesus turns to the disciples and says, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." And this is where our passage picks up. Read it with me as I read it out loud. "On that day when evening had come," oh, I'm sorry, we're in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 of that verse, that chapter. on that day when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with him in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was asleep in the stern on the cushion. And they woke Jesus up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" I want to pause right there. A little bit of geography of what's going on in this passage. The Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias, is nestled in between a bunch of mountains, mountains all around surrounding it in this particular part of the country. And so what would happen is very intense storms would come upon people very quickly. You wouldn't have the chance to see the storm coming. And if you know anything about weather, you know as the nice, warm, humid air comes up off of the Mediterranean Sea, it meets with the colder air at the top of the mountain and it forms storms, right? This would have been a pretty regular occurrence. The storms would have been intense and the storms would have also been unexpected because there was just no way that you could see them approaching. But the other kind of fascinating thing that we sometimes miss in this passage is that the disciples have been navigating this particular body of water for years. Their whole professional career as fishermen, they had been on the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. And so crazy storms coming up that were unexpected was nothing new to them. What's different about this storm is that it's beyond their abilities. Can't you imagine them wrestling with the rigging, trying to get the rudder to do what it's supposed to do, trying to get the sails to position just right to get them out of danger, trying to get some sort of control of the situation. And in the meantime, while the disciples are panicking for their lives, Jesus is passed out on a pillow. What would you do in the situation? What the disciples do is they wake Jesus up frantically and say, "Jesus, don't you care that we're dying here? Don't you care?" That's a fascinating choice of words. The disciples have been sitting with Jesus in the boat, listening to him talk about trust, talk about faith all day long. He's gone from being their teacher, the one that they looked to for encouragement, for direction for their lives. And all of a sudden, this storm comes along, and Jesus goes from being the guy that they look to the guy that they can ask pointed questions of. After all, I mean, they are the ones who did Jesus a favor, right? They let Jesus use his boat all day for his lecture. Then they get out onto the sea, and the storm comes up, and they're freaking out, and Jesus can't even help them out. He's asleep. They're miffed. They're angry. And all of a sudden, they become the ones who get to throw tough questions at Jesus. Jesus has gone from this elevated position in their minds to them being the ones who are elevated, who get to throw the darts at him. Have you ever been there? Has there been a time in your life when all of a sudden a storm came upon you? Maybe not a physical storm, although that could have been it. Some sort of storm of activities that were beyond your ability to control the situation. A challenge you were facing, the loss of a loved one or a job. Maybe just a whole bunch of little things that all came together to cause a really big problem in your life. And in that moment, what'd you do? Was Jesus the guy that you could look to for direction and help and trust? Or was he the guy that all of a sudden you were saying, "Why are you doing this to me?" I think that's kind of human nature. We want to ask why. We want to be the ones who have some sort of control over our lives. But look at how Jesus responds to the disciples. In Mark 4, we're in verse 40. "And Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea, saying, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no trust? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Who do you think you are is a very different question than who are you? Do you notice the very subtle shift between the two questions the disciples ask in the passage? Jesus, don't you care? Who do you think you are to do this to me? To at the end of the passage, who is this? Who is this is the right question to ask. And Mark presents to us the answer. He's going to let you draw your own conclusions, but don't forget, at the very beginning of his book, he tells us this is the good news about Jesus, the promised one of God, who is in fact the Son of God. He comes into the disciples' life and he changes things forever. He does the same thing for us too. He comes into our lives and promises new life. By Jesus' perfect life for us, his death on the cross to forgive our sins, all those mistakes that we make that we can't make right, Jesus forgives those, makes us new, and then promises that because he lives, because he has risen from the dead, we also have new life surging through our veins, entering into our lungs, living out in what we do. Can you imagine how the situation in the boat might have been different? As the waves are filling the boat, as the disciples are wrestling, trying to get a hold of the situation, if they had stopped for just one moment, and instead of asking Jesus, "Don't you care? Who do you think you are?" they had turned to Jesus and said, "Jesus, how are you going to get us out of this?" Do you see the difference? One is a question that comes from faith. One is a question that comes from trust. And can't you imagine that in that moment, Jesus would have gotten up, smiled at the disciples, rolled up his sleeves, winked at them, and said, "Watch this." Who do you think you are is a very different question than who are you? Jesus is the Son of God, and he cares for you. Jesus answers that definitively in our passage this morning, that he does care. And yet we still face challenges in this life. We still face struggles of one kind or another. Storms are going to come. And the Bible gives us the framework to be able to understand what we do in those situations. When we face challenges, we know that they work out either for God's glory or for our good. Those are the only two options. They work out for God's glory or for our good. Romans 8:28 tells us all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. In the book of Job, Job says, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It's going to work out for your good or for God's glory. Now, what that good looks like, you got to understand through the Bible. This doesn't mean that when we face challenges, all of a sudden, we're going to win the lottery and have a big old pile of money show up at our front door. That'd be nice. If it does, let me know. I want to hear about it. Tell me where you bought the ticket to. That'd be nice, too. What God means by good is an eternal good. It's a good that works out for us to be with him forever. It might be a good that works out not so great in our lives, but is better for somebody who's in our life, who's watching, who wants to see what difference does it really make that this person says they know Jesus, that this person is connected to this church we call the dwelling. How we respond in those situations might be exactly what someone needs to help them place their trust in Jesus. Or let's flip the coin, because sometimes things don't work out so great for us, and yet God's glory in a particular situation might be that he's going to be the one who resolves it It might resolve great healing that happens, miracles that we see all throughout Scripture. It might be that God chooses a different way. There was a pastor that my mom had growing up who would always say that God heals you of every disease you face in this world, except for the last one. And even that one, God's going to use to bring you home. Guys, with that kind of perspective, we have a no-lose situation. Jesus does care about you. When you face a storm, what's your response going to be? 3 years ago, my dad had been at the same company for 30 years. He got this job right after he finished his technical school, had come out as a mechanical designer, worked for an engineering firm in San Antonio, doing lots of drafting, lots of designing air conditioning systems. This is a guy who will tell you with passion about how your refrigerator works. I don't get it, but I love it. It's great. When I have an issue, I call him and say, "Hey, Dad, what's going on with the fridge?" For 30 years, he poured his blood, sweat, and tears into this company, all the while believing that if you take care of the company is going to take care of you. He wanted to provide for his family, so he worked long hours. He did all sorts of sacrificing for them, and after 30 years of faithful service, they pulled him into an office and said, "Tom, I'm sorry, you no longer have a job here." That was tough on my dad. As a guy who has this provider instinct, a part of him was shaken. And it drove him to his knees. It drove him to spend lots of time on the front porch swing with mom, talking about what God had in store. He struggled with that for a while. And of course, God had everything taken care of. Before too long, my dad got another job. He's been with that company now for another 3 years, and things have worked out great. But I wonder what lesson God was teaching my dad that couldn't be taught in any other way than taking away from him the job that he had poured his life into for 30 years. Sometimes the storms that we face are actual physical storms. I'm not sure about how your home fared when the rain started pouring just recently. When Imelda came through, I know a lot of us were affected. The rest of us tried to rally as best we could, but truthfully, we cannot necessarily know what it's like to walk through your shoes. And then I was on Facebook somewhat recently. A friend of ours who's at Christ the King, whose sister you guys actually know because she sang in your worship band, had their house flood in Kingwood. And as they ripped out all of their carpet, as they tore out the drywall 18 inches down there, as they tried to figure out what it was going to look like to start drying out their house, there was this incredible moment that our friend Lena captured. I'm going to share it in a video with you guys right now. What did you hear in the background of the video? The fans. trying to dry out the house. Man, when I face a storm, I hope that I can have that kind of trust. That Jesus has got this, that he's going to take care of what needs to be taken care of, and it's going to work out for good and for his glory. I'm not sure where you are this morning, what's going on in your life. If you're in a storm right now that just feels like it's going to crush and overwhelm you, maybe things are great this morning. You're thinking, wow, I'm really blessed. Praise God, that's amazing. Wherever you come from this morning, know with certainty, though, that God cares for you. After the service, if you want somebody to pray with you about a storm that you're facing, a challenge that's going on in your life, a blessing maybe that has come along that you just want to praise God for with shouts of joy like Pastor Seth called us to at the beginning of the service, grab some of the people who are going to be in the back by the soundboard. Any of these folks that are here at the dwelling for a regular basis would love to pray with you, would love to hear what's going on, would love to share the good news that Jesus cares for you. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for Lena and her family who shared that beautiful video on Facebook. I don't even know how many people must have seen that and heard the story of what was going on and just stood in awe of you and how you care for us no matter what. God, thank you for the way that you love us, the way that you take care of us in the storms of life, whatever challenges we face, whatever joys we encounter. We know they work out for our good and for your glory. Lord, sometimes in those moments where we come face to face with your incredible goodness, with your grace and mercy and love for us, we're reminded how much we don't deserve that, how much we have fallen from the way that you call us to live. Even the disciples who in the boat woke Jesus up saying, "Don't you care?" Lord, that's been us. That's been us. Forgive us of that. For all those times when we have turned astray from what you would have us do and say and think. Forgive us. Renew us. Make us new. And help us to live in that full trust that you care for us. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Who is this guy? I will never look at that text again the same way. Those two questions, that's incredible. That's an incredible two questions to be thinking about. And as you go out from here, keep those questions in mind. Which questions do I ask of God? And who is this guy? Or is it, who do you think? Yeah, man, I just got to wrestle. I got to chew on that a little bit. Praise God. I hope you guys got blessed this morning. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his just countenance upon you this next week and give you his peace. Amen. Go in peace. Awesome, guys. Have a good week.